Today, and the topic of today is what occupation should you choose? A very, very interesting section of Chovat Levavot. What should you choose? Actually, what occupation should you choose? So, number one is it's a mitzvah to have an occupation. Mitzvah. What kind of mitzvah is that? Where do you find a mitzvah from? Where's the mitzvah? We're going to talk about where's the mitzvah. It's our duty to pursue a livelihood. Why? You cannot just trust in God and do nothing. A person must do hishtadlut. Very important. Hishtadlut means you're going to try. You're going to do your best. However, not everyone can do the same thing. And not everyone has to do the same thing. Each one has a different mission in the world. And that's the question is, how do you know what you're good at? How do you know what you should be doing? So he tells us there are many ways to earn a living, as we know. Some are easy. Some are easy physically, but hard mentally. Some are hard mentally, but easy physically. Right? Everything is different. Some are easy, require little physical effort. Running a store, he says, little physical effort. Light manual labor, sewing, embroidering, barbering, running a warehouse, supplying laborers or field workers. In other words, which a person behind the scenes, he's doing all the work. He's sending the workers. Right? Management, HR. Right? A person does HR. Other jobs require a lot of strenuous labor. Or field workers. Or a person has to work in the tanning field. Oh boy, it stinks. Mining iron. Well, that's rough. The miners, well, the coal miners, see the coal miners at the line. Refining silver by means of lead. Carrying heavy loads. Traveling great distances. Farming, plowing. All those in those days were very, very labor intensive work. Very hard work. So not everyone can do. It's not for everyone to do these things. So what do you do? So he says, if a person is strong and very low intelligence, should choose a career that involves as much physical labor as a person can handle. Right, it's interesting how he labels according to what a person. High strength and low intelligence, hard labor. On the other hand, a person is physically weak but has a brilliant mind. Don't choose a profession that saps a person's strength. Choose one that will be easy on the person, will be enable them to be diligent in their studies, so they have a high intelligence. So don't waste your time working hard, in which case you won't be able to learn Torah at the end. So it's important to have a white-collar job where a person will be able to learn as well at time. So basically that's a just general rule. What should you choose to do? It depends on who you are, basically. High intelligence, low physical strength. Get a low physical job, but work a lot of intelligence skills. White collar work, that's a Jewish job, right? The accountants, the lawyers, the doctors, and the
dentists,
very good.
Engineers,
not so much, but now more. Chaim Baruch tells me, he says that he's never seen so many religious engineers now coming to engineering school. It's a very good job, people don't realize. They never realized it before, it's a white collar job. It's very much in demand. You get a job with a bachelor's degree. Where do you get a job with a bachelor's degree? Engineering. Straight away. So then he says, again, it also depends on what a person has a feel for. It's very, very important for a person to like what they do. Every person instinctively feels attracted to a certain profession or business. Which is interesting. If you ask a kid, what do you want to be? He tells you. Usually a fireman, yeah. There you go. And then they grow out of it. But each one has an idea of what they like to do, hopefully. The trouble is with kids who don't like to do anything, that's the problem. That's the biggest problem, right? Because Hashem put into us a love of what we want to do. So instinctively, a person knows what they want to do instinctively. We feel attracted to something. It's the same thing in the animal kingdom. Al-Habdili brings an example from the animal kingdom, right? Cats like running after mice for some reason. The hawk instinctively hunts the birds that nourish it. The instinct of certain predators tells them to hunt snakes. And some birds have the instinct to catch fish. So what is he proving? He's saying Hashem put into us instincts as well of what we want to do. Even the jobs we want to do, it's instinctive. Some people are good with their hands. Some people are good with their brain. Some people are good with their dreams. Some people are good in different areas. So that's what Hashem is telling us. Do what you're good at. That's your instinct to do something, so run with it. Run with it. So in the same way, a person's qualities and physical makeup influence their choice of profession or craft. If you find your personality pushing you towards a particular profession, and you are physically suited for it, and you can bear its difficulties, follow that profession, and acquire your livelihood that way. So it's interesting, because now we're talking about a period after prophecy. When there's prophecy, you go to the prophet, and say, what should I do with my life? You go to Moshe Rabbeinu, what do I do with my life? Moshe Rabbeinu says, oh, you? I need you to build a Mishkan. You designer. You're a craftsman. You're good with gold. You're good with the silver. You're good with this. Moshe Rabbeinu would know from prophecy. When you had a prophet, you couldn't ask him any question you want. He would tell you. Today, there's no prophets. So who's going to guide you? And the answer is, I'll give you general rules, he says. What are the general rules? How strong are you? If you're not very strong, physical labor is not for you, obviously. Definitely, that's for sure. If you're not very bright, mental labor is not for you. So you got to find something a person can do with what they're equipped with. Right? Today, we want to do white-collar work. We don't want to do blue-collar work. So every Jew wants to do white-collar work. Why? Because the Gemara says a person should do Avodah Kala V'Nikiyah. It's a Gemara at the end of Kiddushin. Avodah Kala V'Nikiyah. Light and clean work. Why? Because then a person can learn Torah even while they're working. A person can think of Hashem at least. If it's dirty work, you can't even think of Hashem. Can you imagine what kind of punishment that is? It's a terrible punishment. We don't even think about it. You can't even think about Hashem if you're a garbage collector. Because they're busy with garbage. A person's a janitor, he can't think of Hashem when he's cleaning the bathrooms. It's horrible. Can't think of Hashem. Not allowed to think of Hashem. So a person's got to find clean labor, which is light. Why light? So he doesn't get exhausted, and he won't be able to learn Torah at night. A person has a light labor, can go home and not so exhausted, and can study. So a person's got to know, number one, is the physical qualities. Can you put up with blood? There's no point being a surgeon if you can't face blood. I mean, person's got to know what they can cope with. Person can't, is not strong, so he can't be a physical laborer. It's very simple. So a person's got to know what they're physically suited for. And then he says, follow that profession, acquire your livelihood that way. So if you like to do something, you can bear it, do it. Do it. Accept willingly the difficulties that come with this pleasure. So some professions, a lot of exams, a lot of this, keep up studying, 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 studying. You could put up with it. You like it. You have to put up with the difficulties as well. Don't be discouraged if you're out of work occasionally. That's amazing. Yeah, it seems like in those days also, same thing. People have jobs, and there'll be a lull, and have another job, and have a lull. Trust in God. That's when the trust comes in. You tried your best, you got a job, and then you got unemployed. Trust in God. What can you do? Hashem will provide your livelihood all your life. In those days, it was very, very difficult. There was no Social Security. There was no Medicare, Medicaid. There was nothing. You don't have a job, you're dead, basically. You have nothing to rely on, except Hashem. So in those days, really, a person had much more trust in God than they have today. Right? Because in those days, if you don't have a job, you're stuck, really. Especially when a person gets old. Boy, there's nothing. When a person's old, that he's infirm, you have to rely on your children. Bar Minan, to rely on your children. Bar Minan, but you should be careful not to rely on their children. Suppose you've got to trust in God, that's it. When you're busy physically and mentally earning a living, you should bear in mind you're fulfilling the command of the Creator. Here we are. Which command is it to get a job? For God commanded us to be involved in worldly pursuits like farming, plowing, and planting. As it says, by Adam, Hashem took Adam and put him in the Garden of Eden, le'ovda ul-shomra, to work it and to guard it. It's amazing to learn this concept of work from here. And Rashi says straight away, what's work in God? It's a work, it is to pray. Rashi says work is not work. Work is tefillah. Because the next pasuk says, and because it never rained. So Rashi says that his work was to pray for rain. That's his work. Anyway, but here he's taking literally. The whole Levavot takes it literally. Hashem put Adam in Gan Eden in order to work it. We see from here, it's a mitzvah to work. Well, no one brings this down. You look at the list of mitzvot, there's no mitzvah to work. There's a mitzvah to be honest. There's a mitzvah to not to steal. So obviously, you got to read between the lines. There's a mitzvah to be honest, not to steal. How are you going to earn your living? It's got to be obviously an honest trade. You got to do something honest to it. But it's interesting, to this source, for Bakhe ibn Pakuda, Rav Bakhe ibn Pakuda was a Dayan in Saragossa, in Spain. He says, the source for working is Hashem took the man and placed him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to guard it. Bereshit, chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 15. Hashem also commanded man to make use of all his animals for his benefit and sustenance, to build cities and prepare food. Now, where does he say that? Hashem commanded us to prepare food? Where did he learn that from? So that's when Ishmartem me'od l'nafshetechem. There's a mitzvah to guard your souls very carefully, to look after yourself. He commanded man to marry and have relations in order to have children. Peru, milu, ta'aretz. Torah says explicitly. Being that working for livelihood is in itself serving God, a person will be rewarded. If you had in mind to do it for the sake of God, a person says, you know, I'm going to work. Hashem wants me to go to work. I'm doing it for the sake of God. I'm doing it to support my children, support my yeshivot, go this, do this. So a person is getting credit. Imagine, a person goes to work, getting credit. A person is going to think, I'm doing this because Hashem wants me to work. I'm on this trade to support myself and support my family, and that is a tremendous mitzvah. That's an amazing thing. So a person should have in mind to do this L'Shem Shamayim, and this is also brought down by the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch says, a person can make all his day a mitzvah. How? By thinking, I'm doing this for the sake of heaven. I'm working for the sake of heaven. I'm going to work for the sake of heaven. So it's good to have all this L'Shem Shamayim, to do everything L'Shem Shamayim. For the sake of heaven, Hashem says to go to work. And that's a pasuk in Tehillim. David HaMelech says, Ashrecha betovlach. Yegiach kapecha kitochel. With the sweat of your brow you will eat. Yegiach kapecha. The sweat of your hands you will eat. Ashrecha betovlach. It's good for you and good for you. Praise the you and good for you. What's praise the you and good for you? So the rabbis say, praise for you in this world and good for you in the next world as well. Person who works and earns their living, double blessing. This world and the next. Amazing. And the rabbi said in Pirkei Avot, that all your deeds be for the sake of heaven. So a person goes to work and does it for the sake of heaven. And his trust in God will be complete. It's interesting. The person's working and he's trusting God as well. And it helps the trust in God. Not working is very hard for your trust in God. Because you're not really doing it. There's no hishtadlut. So now I'm trusting in God for nothing. Whereas I'm doing nothing. I'm not helping. I'm trusting in God. It's much harder to trust in God. But over here, if I'm working and trusting God, they're both going to work. They're both going to work. Why? Because my work is now part of belief in God. And the faith in God is also helping my work. So it's working both ways. If one does these things wholeheartedly for the sake of God, his trust in God will be complete. And the fact that a person works for a living will not impair his faith in the least. That's amazing. So now the problem is, a person thinks, you know what? My job is giving me my money. That's a big danger as well. A person should not fall into the trap that a person's working hard and he's making a lot of money. You say, I'm so great. I'm making all this money. A person should say to himself, Ki hu hanoten lecha kol lasot chayil. We know there's a mitzvah of the Torah. A person can remember all the time that God is the one who gives us the brains and the strength to do great. And it's very hard to believe that. So trust in God alone for your livelihood. Don't think that if the source dries up, your income will stop. It's amazing. And realize that to God, all ways of earning money are the same. I was reading today in Daily Emuna. He brings out a story of there was a yeshiva who had extracurricular activities, which is one night a week. They would have the Rebbe and the teacher and the students learning together. And they bring the rich guy over and say, come and see what we have over here. The rabbis and the students learning one-on-one. One night a week. One-on-one. So the rabbi said, he says, can you donate some money towards this program? He says, okay, I'm going to donate for a lottery. I'll make a lottery every night they're learning, and there'll be a certain payment to the person who wins the lottery. So the guy said, what are you talking about? He says, why do you want to do it like that? Let's give the most deserving Rebbe. Right? Let's see the best Rebbe who's teaching. Give him the best. Give him the money. Why do you want to make a lottery? He said, no, I want to make a lottery. He said, okay, we'll make a lottery. So every night they made a lottery. Who won the lottery the first night? So the first night, someone won the lottery. Why do you win the lottery? No one knows what's so great about this person. He won the lottery. It happened to be a man who was teaching his brother. Why? Because all the other rabbis were getting paid privately by the individuals they were teaching. This boy had no money to pay. So his older brother said, I'm going to teach him. Now his older brother was married. And the wife was always telling the guy, you better get a paying job. We have no money. So get a private, be a private Rebbe. Why do you want to teach your brother for nothing when you can teach someone else for money? He said, no, he's my brother. I'm going to teach him even for nothing. So it says he won the lottery that night, and that lottery covered exactly how many hours he spent so far putting into his own brother for no money. It was just see, min hashamayim. So a person's got to believe, a person's got to have faith that Hashem has many messages.
Yeah.
It's amazing. There's many messages. Hashem has many messages. Hashem wants to give a person, he'll give a person. You won't even have to buy a lottery ticket. Somehow the money will come to a person. I know a person who lived somewhere. Kollel guy, living in Kollel. His neighbor passed away and left him all her money. True story. Left him all the money in the house. She was a single, she was a widower, and she had no children, and he would help her all the time. His children would help her, and he would help her. And he didn't do this for money. He never knew anything about it. When she died, she left everything. So there's many messages. Hashem has many messages. If Hashem wants to give someone, something will happen. It's amazing, something happened. Hashem has many vehicles to give. Hashem wants to give someone, they'll give. The person will get. We'll get from the most unlikely source. Most unlikely source ever. So a person does all these things wholeheartedly for the sake of God, their trust in God will be complete. But a person mustn't think that their livelihood depends on only one source. If that source dries up, the income will stop. Trust God alone for your livelihood. Realize that to Him, all ways of earning money are the same. He will sustain you by whatever means, whenever and wherever He wants to. Hashem gives. Right? Not by strength or by might, only through my spirit, says God. So Hashem wants to give, Hashem will give. So a person says, okay, I'll go to work, do my ishtadlut. I trust in God as well. If I leave my job, it's all in God's hands. Everything's in God's hands. The person always say, everything's in God's hands. Go bide shamayim. Everything's in God's hands, except for Yirat Shamayim, one's own Yirat Shamayim, which is the hardest thing. Boy, that's the biggest test. The biggest test is what a person does in private. That's the biggest test. What do we do in private? Between me and God, only God knows. That's Yirat Shamayim. Yirat Shamayim is what a person behaves in private. So a person who's a tzaddik in private has Yirat Shamayim. A person not a tzaddik in private. Maybe a tzaddik on the outside, but inside not. No Yirat Shamayim. And that's the hardest thing to do, is Yirat Shamayim. Yirat Shamayim is the hardest thing to attain. But that's our mission. Okay, now we come to when to trust God. This is a very interesting chapter. And you can make a nice flowchart out of this, because he starts with headings and he goes branches out. So let's try and keep track of the headings. What are the main headings? So he says a person should trust in God in two areas of their lives. And these two areas are going to become, it's like a tree, and branch out. So number one, trust God to attain your needs in this world. And number two, trust God to attain the next world. Oh, that's, most people don't even think about the next world. We don't realize we're here, this world is just a passageway. And we just get caught up in this passageway. The passageway looks pretty solid and pretty permanent. Only trouble is, if you go to the cemetery, you'll see it's not permanent. It's a big shock. You know, that no one thinks it's going to happen to them. Everyone thinks, that guy had to, you know, passed away, this guy passed away. But me, I'm going to live forever, yeah. Like, so, no such thing. Two things are certain. Death and taxes. Right? Two things are certain as well. Death and taxes. Sometimes both together, right? Death tax, okay. Alright. So a person has to trust in God to attain their needs in this world. And a person has to trust in God to attain a portion of the next world. Oh, wow. Most people don't even think about it. We need to trust in God. We need to pray to God. And you want a portion of the next world as well. Right? What does David HaMelech say? Shifti Vez Hashem Kol Yemei Chayei L'Azor B'Olam Hashem. I want to see the glory of God. All the days of my... What do you mean all the days of my life? The next world. I want to be in the next world with you, God. I want to get a portion of the world to come. So it's very important to trust in God for both. So most people trust in God. God, you'll find mostly in the Shemone Esrei, it comes to Baruchenu or Baruch Aleinu. Please, God, bless me with Parnasa. Please, Hashem. But we don't think about, what about next world? It doesn't seem to be a pasuk. It doesn't mean a prayer in the Shemone Esrei for the next world. Hashem. But the truth is, there is. What is the pasuk? What is the prayer for the next world? Huh? Nechayim Etim. Yeah, but it's not really a bakasha. What do you pray for? And the answer is, Hashiveinu Avinu Toratecha Vekarveinu Lavodatecha. Please bring us close to the Torah and bring us close to your service. Because by being close to the Torah and being close to your service, that's the key to the next world. So, we do pray for it, but not directly. It doesn't say the next world. Please, God, help us get into the next world. It's amazing. Such a basic idea is missing from the prayers. We have to really think about it. First, we should add a line over there. And bring me into the next world. I want to be close to you. So we trust in God to help us in this world. But most people just stop there. No, we got to trust in God. This is very, very critical. It's very, very important. This is a very big chiddush over here. We have to trust in God to also help us into the next world as well. So now we're going to break down further. The needs in this world can be further broken down. Number one, worldly needs that benefit the existence in this world. And worldly needs that benefit us in the world to come. Why? What worldly needs benefit us in the world to come? We have to talk about. Okay. So worldly needs that benefit us in this world can be broken down into three categories. Number one, those that benefit our bodies. Okay, so health, food, physical activities that help our bodies to be strong. Number two, things that help us earn a living, acquire wealth, and accumulate resources. And number three, things that benefit our household, our wives, relatives, friends, enemies. Interesting, enemies he brings down. And people that are above and below us on the social ladder. So, to help everyone around us, just society, it's amazing. We can't live without a society, it's interesting. When we pray, we should actually pray for the society as a whole. Why? Because when everyone is benefited, we're benefited as well. Most people are selfish, they just pray for themselves. They don't realize, if I'm rich and the other guy's poor, probably the guy's going to rob me or kill me or steal or whatever. Or be jealous at least. This week's parasha. The brothers were jealous of Yosef. Because his father gave him a coat and they never had that coat. So it's very important. Pardon? Yeah, but it's not just Israel. It's everyone, the whole society. If America is doing well, then no problem. Jews can do well as well. If only the Jews are doing well and America is not doing well, there's going to be a tremendous, terrific anti-Semitism. We want everyone. It's in our interest for the whole society to do well. It's interesting. So even those below us, above us in the social ladder, we want everyone to do well. It's amazing. We want the society as a whole to do well. Because when society is doing well, every individual society can do well. There's no jealousy. When society is not doing well and one person is doing well, it's tremendous jealousy. It's terrible. You say, Jews are always doing well for some reason. You always think Jews are always doing well. Not true. So let's recap. So we have trust in God at two levels. Number one is to believe in God to help us in this world. Number two is to believe in God to help us in the world to come. What do we need in this world? We believe in God to help us in three areas. The areas that benefit our bodies only us individuals. Physical health, mental health, food, drink, for myself. Number two, things that can help us earn a living for me and my family, broadening it. And number three is things that can help me and the whole society as a whole. So it goes like a pyramid, right? Hashem will help me in areas which help me personally. Hashem will help me in areas which help me and my family. And Hashem will help me in areas which help me, my family and society. Even my enemies. It's amazing. Friends and enemies. I don't know why I put friends and enemies. You know, I'm meant to have enemies. But he's talking about general society. Everyone. Okay, that's one area, which is physical areas. Hashem has to, we trust in God to help us in these physical areas. Number two, we trust in God to benefit us in the world to come. How? How do we break that down? Number one, all duties of the heart. What are the duties of the heart? And that's the whole book's name. Duties of the heart. What's duties of the heart? All the six constant mitzvot. What are six constant mitzvot? Let's go quickly. Number one, to know there's a God. There's no only one God. To love God. To fear God. Don't go after your heart and your eyes. And? Did we say that? Idolatry. No idolatry. So, only one God. So that's the duties of the heart. Because we've got to think about Hashem all the time. Duties of the heart. So that's next world already. Wow. Duties of the heart are next world. Do teshuva. That's also duties of the heart. Do teshuva. And those physical duties apply to a person and neither hurt nor help anyone else. Those are mitzvot, the personal mitzvot. And then, world to come. Chesed. Activities which involve others as well. Hashem should help us in both areas. Activities which are only for us. Mitzvot, which only apply to us personally, and then activities which apply to other people as well. For example, where one is active, one is passive, like charity, tzedakah, acts of kindness, teaching, urging others to good, warning against evil, all these are matters of the world to come. Wow. Matters of the world to come fall into two categories. Reward that is earned by good deeds in this world, and reward that Hashem gives for no reason. To the pious and the prophets of the world to come. There's a reward for nothing. Wow, can you imagine? There's something for nothing. Amazing. Something for nothing. Well, there's only a godly, only God will give something for nothing. Gratuitous giving. Chanun, El Rachum veChanun. Chanun is grace. Just give. Hashem grants His grace to pious and prophets of the world to come. So reward that is earned and reward that is not earned. Amazing, amazing. Okay? So altogether He comes out with seven things we have to trust in God. Seven things. Number one, a person's own physical concerns. Okay? Right? Which is involves physical, a person's physical health, their supply of food, oxygen, whatever it is, all their needs, basic needs. Number two is a person's wealth and source of income. Number three, a person's family. Again, he puts enemies. Children, relatives, friends and enemies. I don't know why he puts enemies all the time. Which was the whole society. I have to worry about the whole society. Number four, duties of the heart and physical duties that apply only to you. Mitzvot, which apply to us. Number five, mitzvot, which apply to me and other people, doing for others. Number six, reward in this in the world to come that is earned by good deeds in this world. And number seven, reward in the world to come which the Creator graciously grants to His treasured ones. How much goodness there is for those who fear you. You have so much goodness stored up for them, which is free goodness. Okay. So now we're going to go into detail on these seven things, seven areas. Which is interesting, because look how he breaks things down. We would never think of breaking things down like this. So there's areas between physical areas, my own personal physical areas. There's other areas which we need from other people. There's areas which go to my family. There's areas which go around society. And then there's spiritual areas, duties of the heart, mitzvot. And then there's mitzvot which apply to me personally, and there's mitzvot which apply to other people. Me through other people. And then there's a reward in the world to come, earned by good deeds. And then there's reward in the world to come, which is gracious. Hashem just gives the person. The truth is, it says sometimes a person takes someone else's reward. If someone speaks Lashon Hara about someone, it's a very hard thing. It's hard to think about this even. A person who speaks Lashon Hara is losing his Olam Haba and giving it to the other person he spoke to, or I spoke about. Imagine. A person says, that's so-and-so. He's a really bad person. Oh! You just gave me your Olam Haba. Oh boy. Hard to think about it. Suppose you've got to do teshuva to get it back, you know. there's a famous Arizal. The Arizal says, there's a prayer in the Shemoneh Esrei. It says, Vasim chalkeinu imahem. Let our portion be with them. Vasim chalkeinu imahem. Let our portion be with them. With who? What portion? What are you talking about? So he says, when a person sins, their Olam Haba is taken, their portion of the world to come is taken away and given to someone else. He said, a person should always pray in the Shemoneh Esrei, it's given to someone who doesn't take gifts. So they'll give it back to you. Imagine, a person can lose their Olam Haba. A person can lose. One thing a person does, and they can lose everything. One thing a person does, they can gain everything. It's amazing. A person can be very careful. Some things are so big. A person's mean to someone. Really mean to someone. It says, a person's mekaneh Hashem b'chaviro. Person calls a person a nickname that they don't like. They keep on calling the guy the same nickname. The guy doesn't like the nickname. Stop calling me this nickname. He calls him nickname. En lo cherek leolam haba. This week's parasha, right? Tamar, you shame someone in public. Oh yeah, yeah. Tamar says it's better to be thrown into the fiery furnace and not shame Yehuda. She was willing to die, not to shame. So certain things are so bad. A person can lose the Olam Haba, Bar Minan. So a person should pray, even if I lose it, should go to someone, a righteous person who doesn't take gifts. Which means he's going to give it back to me. He can't take the gifts, he gives it back. There are righteous people who don't want to take gifts, even in Olam Haba. Baruch Hashem. So, Kisim Halkeinu Mahem, put our portion amongst them, the people who don't take gifts. They'll always give it back to us. Okay, so let's start off with trusting God for physical health. This is really a whole topic, and I think this covers most of the book. Number one, trusting God for your physical health. I will first begin by highlighting the first area of trusting God, which has to do with your own physical concerns, like life. So we have trusting God for our lives. Livelihood, clothing, shelter, health, illness, and character traits. Again, character traits would not. This is amazing because he throws things in. Look how he throws things in that you wouldn't normally think about. The person says, you know, what do I need from God? Okay, let's go through the list. I need life. I need livelihood. I need clothing. I need shelter. I need health. I need illness. And then he throws in character traits. Amazing. He sneaks it in. All of a sudden, Musar, character traits. I need to have good character traits. Vilna Gaon says that's the whole purpose of a person in this world. Whole purpose of a person in the world is to fix their good character traits, fix their character traits. So imagine a person lives their life and they have everything else. They have livelihood, they have wealth, and they have this. They have bad character traits. Their whole mission in this world is defeated. They didn't do the mission. So we need to trust in God that He'll help us fix our character traits as well. We should pray to God, fix us, Hashem. We want to be fixed. Hashem says, okay, I'll give you tests to fix you. All the tests we get in life are all to fix us. We don't really realize it. Either it breaks us or it fixes us. Look at our forefathers. Their test was all emunah, emunah, emunah. They're going to pass the test or not. Yaakov Avinu. Hashem says, you're going to get the land. What land did he get? He had to buy the place in Shechem, and they keep chasing him all over the place. So that's the test. And he passed the test. He didn't surrender. So how does a person rely on God in each of the areas? He says, it's to surrender yourself to the fate that God has decreed to you. And trust in Him. Always say Gamzu L'Tova. You try your best, and then it's all in God's hands. Gamzu L'Tova, everything's in God's hands. That's all we can do. So we surrender ourselves to Hashem. It's in God's hand. If that's what God wants, what can you do? But it tries their best. You get the best lawyer, you get the best doctor, you get the best accountant, you get best. And then you say, listen, I've done my best. What else can I do? I can't do anything else. Now it's all in God's hands. That's what a person should do. Surrender your fate to the fate that God decreed for you, trust in Him. You should know, you would only have what the Creator meant you to have. And that would always be the best for you in this world and the world to come. So, person, we believe in a good God, Baruch Hashem. We believe in a God that loves each one of us, Baruch Hashem. Thank God for that, a million times. So what's going to happen to us? And the answer is, the best is going to happen to us. Hashem is going to do things for the best. The person is going to say, Gamzu L'Tova. May not be the best over here, it'll be the best in the next world. And that's very comforting. We believe in two worlds. What happened to the Jews over here? Okay, but there's another world. Hashem makes it up to those who didn't get this world and the next world. We'll get next world. Hashem will always do the best for us. You should also know, Hashem controls all your physical concerns. No one can advise you or bring about a change in them without God's permission. So if you do get good advice, it's because Hashem said, this guy needs good advice. Person gets bad advice, Hashem says, give him bad advice. It's amazing how a person could get good advice sometimes, bad advice sometimes. Terrible. Remember, no human being has the power to supply your sustenance, your clothing, and other physical needs. Any more than he can make decisions about life and death, sickness and health. So even the doctor. It's up to you to find the best doctor. But even then, the best doctor sometimes makes mistakes. Right? The person goes for an operation and they cut the wrong piece out. They take the wrong kidney out. Mistakes happen today. Everything is in God's hands. Everything is in God's hands. Everything. Just when you think you don't need God, that's when you need Him the most. It's amazing. It's so amazing. You get this person goes for this procedure, standard procedure. Every year he goes for procedure, and every day he prays Hashem. But after he says, listen, that's it. I've been here so many times. It's normally going to be good. That's the time when it happens. When you didn't think about Hashem, that's when things are going to happen. So it's very important to think about Hashem all the time. We need Hashem all the time. And no one can make decisions for us. Person says you're going to die, who knows what's going to happen. Person says you're going to live, who knows what's going to happen. No one knows what's going to happen. No one knows tomorrow. I remember my father used to complain about his having heart palpitations all the time. And he went to the doctor, and the doctor made fun of him. He made mockery of him. Yeah. You always come back, heart problem. So he lived another 25 years, my father, and the doctor died a few weeks later. No one knows these things. No one knows what's going on. It's tragic.
Sorry.
Poor fellow. My father was fantastic. I don't know how he did it. It was fantastic. So, it was amazing. Even while, on the other hand, you're fully convinced everything you acquire is determined by the Creator, and He chooses for you the best possible choice, you should nevertheless pursue a career and make decisions that seem to benefit you. God will do through your actions what He decided to do. In other words, a person's got to do what they should do. You can't just say, I'm relying on God, that's it. A person's got to do their best. And rely on God as well at the same time. Similarly, although your lifespan is determined by a defined degree, it doesn't mean you've got to go bungee jumping every day. It doesn't mean a person's going to go skydiving every day. Okay, a person says, listen, God decreed when I'm going to die. So I can do whatever I want. Wrong! You can also bring it closer. A person can kill themselves. That's outside whatever God wants. God does not want a person to kill themselves. So a person has to still make an effort to live properly, healthily. Imagine. But if a person starts smoking and says, it's all in God's hands. I knew people like that. It's in God's hands. But don't try it. Don't test it. You have to try your best. Earn a living in order to fill your needs for food, drink, clothing, shelter. You may not leave them to God. A person is not allowed to say, if God wants me to live, He will sustain me without food all my life. So why should I bother working to earn a living? By the same token, you should not expose yourself to danger. Drink poison. I just read today, 35 Russians died because they started drinking. There's a shortage of alcohol in Russia. So I think they started drinking lotions, some kind of hand lotion or something. It says over there, 99% alcohol. But it was a different kind of alcohol. Methanol, I think it was, instead of... They killed 35 people today in Russia. They died. They're dying, like dropping like flies. Because they're all drinking. They're looking for substitutes. There's no alcohol. So they're drinking gasoline. They're drinking all kinds of stuff just to get high. They have to drink. So there's nothing to drink. So they drink, they're trying to find things to drink. So the person says, you know, I'm going to live, but what difference does it make? If God decides I'm going to die, I'm going to die anyway. What difference does it make? So a person's fatalist, and they won't take precautions, and sure enough. You can't say that. A person's going to try their best. Don't expose yourself to danger. Don't drink poison. Don't fight lions or other wild beasts needlessly. Don't jump into the sea or into a fire or do anything unsafe and dangerous, relying on Hashem to say, you know, the guy has a long time to live. The Torah says, don't test Hashem as you test Him at Marah. What happened at Marah? What happened at Marah? Huh? The water. Oh. Masa Meribah. Right? That's where they hit the rock, right? They tested Him. Don't test Hashem, your God. Which means don't test Him. Don't do things which are dangerous and say, let God save me. For a person puts himself in danger, two things are bound to happen. Either the person will die, or he'll be saved through the grace of God, which will lower his merits. If Hashem has to do a miracle for someone, it's very dangerous. Again, losing one's life in this matter is considered suicide and be held accountable. It's murder. Person jumps into the sea and says, God will save me. It's murder. He killed himself. And it's murder with no teshuva. He's dead. Can't do teshuva. Suicide is the worst thing, and that's why in Jewish cemeteries we don't bury suicides in the corner far away. There's a corner for suicides. Today is not so much, because today we say the Meshuggah. I mean, why would a guy commit suicide? Meshuggah. Must not be well. So it depends on the situation. So either the person will lose his life if he's dangerous, living dangerously, and losing his life in this manner is considered suicide. As if he killed someone else, only this time he can't do teshuva. A person kills someone else, he can do teshuva, he's still alive. A person kills himself, he murdered someone himself, and he can't do teshuva. Terrible. So even though you can say, you know, God decreed that I die. No, God says don't commit murder. And the closer the relationship between a murderer and his victim, the more severe the punishment. Person kills his father, much worse. Person kills his brother, much worse. Person kills himself, the worst. His closest relative killed himself. People don't realize that. Therefore, since every person is his own closest relative, a person who kills himself surely will be severely punished in the hereafter. He's like the servant whose master ordered him to guard something for a while, warning him not to leave until the master's messenger would relieve him. You get the parable, right? The master says, God says, look after this for a while. Look after your body for a while. Until my servant comes and relieves you of it, which is the angel of death. And the messenger was delayed in coming, Baruch Hashem. It's fantastic. The messenger is delayed. We pray. Thank God. Make a party. Every week, make a party. So what happens? The guy takes his own hands. It's, here, take. I don't want it anymore. The master found out. He became furious and punished the servant severely. So too, a person who does not properly protect himself from harm turns his back on God's service, rebels against this. Wow. Amazing, right? A person's got to protect themselves. Even the prophet Samuel, who was told by God to go and sacrifice, go to Yishai and anoint one of his sons, tells God, I'm not going to go put myself in danger. If Shaul finds out, he's going to kill me. It's treason. He's the king and I'm anointing a new king. Can you imagine? He's telling God, I can't go. Because by going, I'm breaking your own command. But you saying to go. God is saying go. But I can't go because I'm breaking the other rules that you made. What other rules? I'm putting myself in danger. So what does Hashem tell him? Hashem says, tell everyone you're going to make a korban. Don't tell everyone you're going to anoint his son. Keep that quiet. Just go and say, I need to go and make a korban with Yishai and his family. That's it. So interesting, because Hashem is telling him basically that you're right. Shmuel, you're right. You must take precautions. And I'm going to agree with you. And I'm going to give you a pretext to go. This way, Shaul won't find out where you're going. You're not allowed to put yourself in danger. Hashem is telling you, you're right. Even though you're going on my mission, you should do it in a way which is least dangerous. Amazing. First, going on the mission of God doesn't mean you have to go and flaunt and say, God is going to protect me. No. First, going to try and do it in a way where it does not rely on miracles. You're not allowed to rely on miracles. A Jew is not allowed to rely on miracles. Al tismoch al hanes, not allowed to rely on miracles. And if the miracle happens and a person doesn't need to have the miracle, they lose merits. It's God miracle. So Hashem says, okay, take along with yourself a cow and say, I'll come to bring an offering to Hashem. Had Shmuel's statement stemmed from a lack of trust in God, God's answer would have been, I put to death and I bring to life. What's the problem? You have a problem with the faith in me? And that's what Hashem told Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu tries to evade God's mission to redeem the Jewish people. He starts arguing with God for 7 days. I find it difficult to speak. I can't talk, Hashem. Hashem says, who made a person deaf? Who made a person dumb? Who gives a person sight? Who pays to make him blind? I can do it, so I can make you talk. So if the perfectly righteous Shmuel hesitated to take the slightest risk, even though he's a mission for God to anoint the successor to King Saul, surely it would not be shameful for a person not acting on God's orders to expose themselves to danger. So a person who exposed himself to danger for no reason, here Shmuel, going God's service, will not expose himself to danger. How much more so a person not doing God's service should not expose himself to danger. Even if a person who exposed himself to danger was saved with God's help, he still loses his merits and forfeits his reward. Terrible. A person can lose many bits for it just by putting themselves in danger and being saved. So a person says, thank you, Hashem, you saved me. But it's expensive to be saved. You got to pay the ambulance, you got to pay for the doctor, you got to pay for the hospital, you got to pay that. It's expensive. Also in God's world, it's expensive as well. If God has to do a miracle to save a person, not a good idea. Unless it's not their fault. The person was in an airplane, and something wrong with the airplane. It's not his fault. He got the best airline. He took a good airline, not one of the junkie. I can't say names over here. I'm sued. Don't get a very cheap airline. It's a good airline, reputable airline, and something happened to the plane, and there's a miracle, and the person got saved. That's not from his merits, because he took precautions. Because if he didn't pay precautions, he went bungee jumping and he got saved through a miracle. The cord snapped and he landed on the ledge and the thing stopped. There was a tree over there and the tree stops his fall. That's a miracle, and he loses his merits. Bye. So we're going to try their best to stay safe. Stay safe. The The principle of not relying on God in face of danger was formulated by our sages. A person should never stand in a place of danger and say, a miracle will be performed for me. Because it may not be performed. And even if a miracle is performed, it's only because they're going to take away the person's deeds and merits. It's Gemara in Shabbat 32a. As our forefather Yaakov says, here we are. Last week's parasha. I am unworthy of all the kindness. Which the Targum translates, my merits are reduced by all the kindness and goodness. When Hashem does someone kindness, they don't deserve it, their merits are reduced. Katonti b'kol ha-chasidim. B'kol ha-emet asher asita m'avdecha. Yaakov Avinu says, katonti, I become small from all the kindness that you did with your servant. Because you did so many miracles for me, I must have no merits. The Moshe Avraham Avinu says the same thing, right? What does Avraham Avinu say? He beats the four kings. Can you imagine? He fights a world war. Hard to imagine. One man with his retinue of, some people say, one person. Eliezer. 318 people. Which is Gematria Eliezer, right? He beats four kings. And he comes back and he says, what does he say? What does Avraham say? He says, what's going to happen to me? I finished. I must have used up all my merits. That's it. Hashem says, Abraham, he says, don't worry, he says, Ani magen lach, I'm your shield. Schalcha habe meod, your merit is terrific. Abraham didn't need that reassurance. Why? He said, what a big miracle, I must have used up all my merits. And Hashem says, don't worry, I'm your shield. That's the best thing you can have, is God as your shield. Why? Because your shield is with you 24 hours a day, 24/7. So Hashem says, I'm your shield, Schalcha habe meod. Your merit is terrific. Because you went, L'shem Shemaim, you went to redeem a captive. One of the biggest mitzvot in Judaism is to redeem a captive. He went to redeem his captive, his brother-in-law, and his nephew, Lot. So Hashem says, your merit is terrific. You didn't lose any merit, you gained merit by redeeming Lot. So people are going to try their best to look after themselves. So even though ultimately everything is from God, one must nevertheless actively protect themselves from harm. And this applies to matters of health. Sustenance. Eat well. It's so hard to eat well today. It's so hard to eat the right things. So much junk food out there. So much poison out there. So much sugar, so much salt. It's amazing that life, they make life very difficult for a person. Emulsifiers and cornstarch and all this garbage they put in the food, and before you know it, you're eating chemicals without eating. You're not eating good food. It looks good, tastes good, but who knows what's inside the stuff? It's not real food. It's scary. So a person has a little allergy, and all of a sudden you find your diet, everything's going haywire because you're eating the wrong food. It's terrible. So this applies to matters of health, sustenance, shelter, acquiring good character traits. Again. A person's got to trust in God to help him. Please, a person's got to pray to God, help me perfect my character before I go. It's so hard to perfect the character traits. Avoiding bad character traits. So hard. While pursuing these goals, a person should know that one's efforts by themselves are futile. We need help. We need Hashem's help all the time. All these areas of life, we need God's help. Because us by ourselves, we're just lost in the dark. We can't cope. In this regard, you must be like the farmer who plows his field, weeds, sows, and irrigates it. But ultimately, you must trust that God will make the land fertile, protect it from disaster, increase its crops, and bless it. Imagine Israel. Being a farmer in Israel is probably the hardest thing because it doesn't normally rain. It rains one season. If it doesn't rain that season, gone. Whole crops are gone. This last year was a very hard year for farmers. Because the rain came very late. By that time, a lot of the crop has dried out already. It's amazing. It's so hard to be a farmer in Israel. So you need a lot of Yirat Shamayim. You need a lot of... What do the rabbis say? The rabbis say, farmers and sailors have the most Yirat Shamayim in those days. The farmers needed the rain. They needed to pray to God. And the sailors, because in those days, the boats were, rickety little things. The water, they were leaking water all the time. Sailors would pray all the time. Just read the book of Jonah. Amazing how sailors would pray. But can you imagine a farmer who says, you know what? I'm going to leave my field untilled, unsown, and let God will provide. What can happen? Hashem wants us to work. In the same way, craftsmen, businessmen, laborers must earn a living while at the same time believing their sustenance is in God's hands. This is so hard to do. It's so hard to do it both. So in other words, even though you're working hard, you still got to believe Hashem will help. And a person believes Hashem helps, doesn't work hard, might not happen either. A person needs to do both. It's amazing. It's an amazing system. It's a complicated system. It's not just one or the other. You got to do both. One won't work without the other. So everyone's got to work. Everyone's got to earn a living, believing that their sustenance is in God's hand. Hashem is the guarantee. A person's own efforts alone will not bring them their sustenance. Hashem has to help as well. If you earn a living through your efforts, don't depend on that effort as a source of your income. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. No one knows what they're going to happen. Had an aunt, very sad, tragic. I always thought my aunt was very wealthy, because she was. At one time, she was very wealthy. And I was a kid growing up. I didn't really realize what's going on. I always thought she's a very wealthy lady, and she was. She used to have a very big house. She used to have a car with a chauffeur drive her around. Her husband was very wealthy. And then she moves to a different area of town, a little apartment. Okay, I thought she's downsizing. We don't know what's going on. I thought she's still very wealthy. Then I find out later on, when I grew up, that she lost all her money. How'd she lose her money? Very simple. She put it in the bank, and inflation. Inflation ate up all the money, basically. Amazing, those days, inflation. Inflation is the worst thing. Why? Because you put your money in a bank, you're earning 5% interest, but the inflation rate is 10%. A few years later, nothing. No money left. She had to sell a house. Downsize. Poor woman. Terrible tragedy. So even though a person's husband saved for her and saved for her and said, where's the money going? We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. No one knows. No one knows. That's why they tell you always diversify, diversify, diversify. It's very hard. No one knows. Oh, that's why a person needs to trust in God. No one knows what's going to happen tomorrow. There's a big debate. Do you remember Moshe Feinstein, Rav Avadi Yosef, if a rich man can live more than 10-20%, it's at staka. Because normally the Gemara says a person shouldn't give more than 20%. Why? Just in case they become poor. So can a very wealthy man become poor? That's the question. Rav Moshe Feinstein says, yeah, even very wealthy people can lose all their money. Rav Avadi Yosef says, no, there's a level that even if they lose a billion, still have 5 billion left. So he says you can give more than 20%. But how many people are in that position? But even them, they can lose. We don't know what's happening tomorrow. No one knows anything about anything. It's like we're living in the dark. We're really living in the dark. Events can turn just like that. Look at Syria. Who would believe Syria fighting and smashing the whole country up? Who would believe Egypt is in turmoil? Who would believe the whole Arab Spring was like a crazy situation? And we don't know what's going to happen next. We're going to have a new president. No one knows what's going to happen. No one knows what's going to happen. No one knows what's going to happen in China. There could be a war. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. It's crazy. So everything, we try our best, but we have to realize everything is in God's hands. Everything is in God's hands. Everything. There was a guy in London during the Second World War. Schneider's yeshiva. Rav Moshe Schneider had a yeshiva in London. And there were two Moshes in his study. This is Rav Moshe Schneider, right? And he had a yeshiva, and there were two Moshes learning in his yeshiva. So they needed volunteers in the yeshiva. One volunteer to wake people up in the morning. So one Moshe says, I'll wake everyone up. And the other Moshe, we need a volunteer to go and pick up bread from the bakery. All the bread which is left over, they donated to the yeshiva. So the stale bread will be donated to the yeshiva. We need a boy to go and pick up the bread every day from the leftover bread from the... So the other Moshe volunteered. So one Moshe was Rav Moshe Sternbuch. Today he's the head of the Bedatz, head rabbi. He woke everyone up in the morning. So his merit, waking people up in the morning for Shacharit, he became the chief rabbi of the Bedatz, one of the top rabbis there. And he wrote a very famous book, Mo'adim is Money, very, very, very famous book. And the other Moshe was Reichman, Moshe Reichman, who was very, very wealthy. Why? He went to bring the bread for the yeshiva every day. So Hashem blessed him with tremendous wealth. How did he get wealth? In the middle of the Second World War, he has an idea. What do people need the most? In those days, matches. Because There's a curfew. They had to put out all the lights. Well, you need a candle. You have to light a candle. How do you light a candle? Matches. So he went into the match business. He made a fortune making small things, matches. So it's something small. Sometimes Hashem puts an idea in a person's head, something small. And a person, Hashem wants to bless a person. It's amazing how a person, Hashem blesses someone. But again, he nearly lost it. His company went bankrupt. He went bankrupt. His company went bankrupt. They built this massive project in London. If you go to Canary Wharf, it's massive. It's like a big downtown area on swamplands and old. It's amazing. You go there today, it's like the best part of London. All the big businesses, all the big companies over there. And he went bankrupt doing it. It's amazing. Everything goes round in a cycle. So we have to trust in God. We try our best, we have to trust in God as well. Don't get enthralled with your work or completely wrapped up in it, because that weakens your trust in God. It's very hard, very hard, very hard. For a person to say, it wasn't me. Hashem gave me that power. I said, wow, that's amazing. What do you do? Oh, I'm so good. I'm so great. I'm so fantastic. Of course. Of course. I did it. A person's going to say, no, it wasn't me. Hashem gave me the power to do it. David HaMelech. He fought the battles and he won the battle. And he said, it wasn't me. It was Hashem. That's the greatness of David HaMelech. So that's something which is very hard to do. So a person's got to believe that everything came from God. Even though they worked hard. Can you imagine a person who works really hard? He's still got to believe all my work and everything, efforts Hashem provided. That's really the test. Okay, we're going to stop here. We're going to have to come back to this. Because we're just starting this section.